Welcome to the Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes.
Welcome to the Green Business Programme, which is part funded by the European Regional Development Fund and delivered by Coventry City Council, Coventry University and Coventry University Enterprises. Coventry, the Motor City as it used to be known because of the proud long-standing association to the motoring industry, is now rapidly shifting its transport strategy to more sustainable ways of travel, which are kinder to the environment, working towards perhaps becoming the UK's greenest city. Transport is regarded as one of the biggest contributors to the greenhouse gas emissions in the UK. Government data shows that the sector produced 97.1 million tonnes of carbon dioxide in 2020, a total of 19.6% of the UK's CO2 emissions during that year. This is a worrying statistic and proves the need for change, and Coventry is not falling behind when it comes to taking action. I'm John Bates, and today we speak to David Pipe, who is a senior officer and part of the Transport Strategy and Transport Innovation Team at Coventry City Council. David is here in the studio to share with us the Council's green transport vision and how this is expected to make travelling safer and more sustainable for us all. Hi, David. Thanks for sparing the time to come and talk on the podcast. Let's just start with what does the future of transport in Coventry look like and what plans have you got in place to make this vision happen?
Yeah, thank you, John. So I guess the first thing to say is that the future needs to look fundamentally very different to what we have now. So right now we're a very car dominated city. So approximately 3/4 of journeys into the middle of Coventry are made by car at the moment. And there are numerous reasons why that's not sustainable, and we simply can't carry on like that. So you already mentioned climate change and the fact that transport is the single largest source of emissions in the country. That's perhaps the most obvious reason why we need to change, but it's not the only one. As well as that, we also have issues with air pollution. So there are particular hotspots in the city, particular locations where the sheer number of cars that are sat idling in congestion causes air pollution to an extent that the concentrations exceed legal limits, and we need to address that. We also have issues with levels of physical inactivity and obesity among the population that means that Coventry has a lower than average life expectancy. And again, that's related to the fact that we depend on cars for our travel. And there's also, I think, something about fairness as well. So right now our transport system is designed predominantly for cars. Cars are the easiest way to get around the city, but we know that 1 in 3 households don't have access to a car. So we have a system right now that works very well for quite a lot of people, but not so well for a significant minority of people. And of course that significant minority is concentrated in the most deprived parts of the city particularly. So there's also a fairness question as well. Depending on car to travel is very expensive, and that does exclude some people. So for all of those reasons, we need fundamentally to change how we travel. So the vision for the future is that instead of being car first, the way that we will travel will be walking, cycling, public transport first, with substantially fewer trips being made by car, but those that still are being made by zero emission vehicles.
Okay, so you're clearly trying to tackle a whole host of things all at once, which is really commendable. That's an admirable target to have a go at. But which projects are you most excited about?
So there's a number of, I think, really exciting things in our strategy. So, for example, in order to make this a change of this magnitude, and it is a really fundamental change, in the way that we live and the way that we travel, it requires a really substantial investment in, for example, our public transport system. So some of the things that we're looking at and that I think are genuinely really exciting are things like very light rail. So we will be looking to introduce what will be a first of its kind in the world very light rail system. So this is similar to the tram systems that you'll have seen in Birmingham and Manchester and other places like that, but with smaller, lighter weight vehicles. They'll be electric powered and zero emission. And because they're smaller, they will be, the whole system will be significantly cheaper to build. And that's what's going to make it affordable for a smaller city like Coventry that won't get the same numbers of passengers as what you would see in Birmingham. So that's a potentially really exciting thing, and it could make tram, like mass transit type travel, possible in smaller cities, not just in Coventry, but that's replicable in lots and lots of other cities around the country and around the world. I think another thing that's really exciting is that we're going to be the first city in the country to have an all-electric bus fleet. So at the moment, we've got about 10 electric buses already operating on our network, but that's a reasonably small proportion of the total. By 2025, we're going to be 100% electric bus fleet, and we're going to be the first city in the country to achieve that. And then something else that I think is quite exciting, again, on public transport, is we've started introducing a new kind of bus service, which is an on-demand bus service. So it's called WM On Demand, West Midlands On Demand. It's run by Transport for West Midlands, and it's a bus service that has no fixed routes and no fixed timetable. It's flexible. It will pick you up when you want and take you where you want to go. So it operates within a defined area, but within that, you can request when you want to be picked up and where you want to be taken.
David, let's just hover on WN On Demand just for a moment, because I think that sounds really interesting. So how do people book a seat on a WM On Demand bus?
So most people will book through a mobile phone app, which is called WM On Demand. And you can find it in all the normal places you would download mobile phone applications from. There is also a kind of telephone call centre available for those who aren't, for whatever reason, able to book via a mobile phone app.
And is it operating in just sort of normal office hours, or when's it available?
So at the moment it's Monday to Friday from 7 in the morning till 8 in the evening. But we do have ambitions to extend that. We would like ideally to extend it to later in the evening if we can. And we'd also like to maybe operate it at weekends if we can in the future. And the other thing to say is that at the moment it's only covering about half the city. But again, our aspiration is to expand that and to eventually take it citywide.
David, do you have to book trips in advance?
So you can do. You can book in advance, but you don't have to. And the average wait for someone who just wants to be picked up straight away is, I think, about 13 minutes. So it's broadly comparable to calling a taxi. And at the moment, it only operates in about half the city. But again, we are looking to expand it and to ideally take it citywide. If you've ever used a kind of ride hailing service like Uber, it's very, very similar to that in terms of how you order a ride and being able to track the vehicle all the way to your pickup point.
There are other taxi services available, of course.
but where it differs from those kind of services is that, you know, instead of using a single vehicle for every person who wants a ride, what WM On Demand is doing is taking a small fleet of minibuses and it will be merging your journey with others. So it will be picking up and dropping off other people while it's on its route. So it's a much more environmentally sustainable and also a much cheaper option.
Sounds excellent. Now, look, some people, as you alluded to, they prefer pedal power. So how easy is it going to be able to hop on a bike and go to the work or go to the shops?
Yeah, so this is another area where we need to make a really substantial change. So I already mentioned that, you know, public transport, we're looking at making some really, really quite substantial improvements. Cycling is, I think, the other area where we need to do something that's really, really transformative compared to what we have now. So at the moment, it's nowhere near easy enough to cycle around the city. And, you know, I mentioned before that something like 3/4 of journeys into the middle of Coventry are made by car. Only, I think, less than 1% of journeys are currently made by bike into the middle of Coventry. And, you know, we've done enough surveys and we've had enough feedback from residents to know that the biggest reason for that is the lack of kind of safe cycle infrastructure. People don't want to have to share busy roads with cars, quite understandably, and that puts people off cycling. So we have started to rectify that. So if you live in Cowden, for example, you'll have seen the new segregated cycleway going in. It's much more like what you would see if you went to somewhere like the Netherlands, where you see really world-class cycle infrastructure. That's the kind of standard that we're aspiring to. So So we're building our first route at the moment in Cowan, that's nearly complete. And we've just started construction of the second route, which will go to Binley. But of course, the longer term vision that's set out in the strategy is that that has to be just start. Really, what we need ultimately is a network of those kind of cycleways that connect up all of the parts of the city so that it becomes easy and safe to cycle anywhere, and so that people don't have to share roads with cars if they want to go on their bikes. The other thing I think that will help is the West Midlands Cycle Hire scheme, which you might have seen. So you've probably seen green bikes zipping around, particularly if you've been anywhere around the city centre recently. This was introduced not too long ago, and it's proved to be really popular. It's similar to the cycle hire schemes you'll have seen in other places like London for many years. At the moment, the scheme is mostly concentrated in the city centre and the surrounding area. But of course, our ambition is to expand it and ultimately to take it citywide. So particularly as we're starting to build new cycleways and new infrastructure for cyclists, we'll be wanting to put in more docking stations and things as well, so that people can make use of that using the hire bikes. So I think longer term, we'll see a real transformation in how easy and how convenient, and most importantly, how safe it is to cycle around the city.
Sure. Now, as I've already said, Coventry is very well known for its close association, with the motor industry, with cars. And as much as, we'd all like to jump on a bus or use a train, cycle to work, the majority of people are still, using cars because of, different circumstances. So there's lots of traffic jams, and that, as you've already said, that causes loads of pollution and sort of issues that need to be dealt with. Is the council doing anything to ease and improve the sort of traffic flow around the city?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things here, I think. So the first thing is, overall, we obviously need fewer cars on our roads. However, obviously, we don't want to create lots of extra road space. We don't want to create lots of additional capacity for more cars, because that's clearly the opposite of what we're trying to achieve. However, there are certain pinch points. There are certain areas on our network where we see particular hotspots for congestion and in particular hotspots for air pollution as a result of that. And so we do need to take quite targeted action to address those. So for example, you might have seen that there are works going on at the moment around Junction 7 of the Ring Road and up on Spon End. That is part of our local air quality action plan. That's intended to remove a particular hotspot and to improve traffic flows in that location specifically. So there'll be a number of areas where we will make junction improvements and things like that to address those issues. More generally though, the best thing that we can do to reduce congestion, obviously, is to have fewer cars and to shift more people onto other modes of transport. And that's why I think, the work that we're doing around building cycleways and things like that is also relevant here, because I think even if you're not a cyclist yourself, even if there are reasons why you can't cycle yourself, you will still benefit from that infrastructure being there, because every person who rides their bike into town instead of driving is one less car on the road, a little bit less congestion, fewer traffic jams, less time spent waiting behind them.
The future, as we well know, as far as cars are concerned, is this transition to electric. So what's the council doing to support that transition and, helping drivers who perhaps are already using electric vehicle?
Yeah, so Coventry already has one of the largest networks of electric vehicle charge points, publicly available charge points in the country outside of London. And that's really important, because we know that one of the biggest obstacles that prevents people from switching to electric at the moment is this issue about kind of range anxiety and charging anxiety. And, well, what if I can't find somewhere to plug it in? What if I can't get to the place I need to get to before I run out of battery? So we're already installing electric vehicle charge points around the city, both in residential areas, particularly in areas where there is not a lot of off-street parking. Because, of course, if you have a driveway, you can get a charge point installed at your home, but not everyone has that luxury. And so we are installing residential charge points in areas where a lot of people don't have access to off-street charging. And then we're also installing kind of faster, more rapid chargers in kind of destinations. So places like the city centre, in car parks, like at the new train station, for example, areas where people will travel to, plug their car in while they go and do something, and then return to it afterwards. So we'll continue to expand that. We'll continue to install more charge points. We're also keen to look at facilities like what we're calling kind of supercharging hubs. So these will be kind of service station type places, but intended specifically for electric vehicle and perhaps other zero emission car users as well. Places where there will be lots and lots of kind of rapid high speed charging and maybe refueling for hydrogen or other forms of fuel as well, but then also service station type facilities like, you know, food and retail and a place that you can go and do some work while you're waiting for your car to charge, that kind of thing. So facilities like that, kind of close to main roads, I think will help as well. And then the other thing that we're doing is particularly in terms of helping businesses to switch their fleets over to electric. We're running a try before you buy type scheme for local businesses who want to try out having an electric van or an electric car or an electric taxi as part of their fleet for a couple of months before they commit to making that purchase. So that scheme's called Electric Fleet First, and you can find details of it on the council's website. And as I say, you can apply to have a trial free of charge for a couple of months.
Okay, David, we know that in about 7 years' time, nobody will be able to buy a new petrol engine car or a new diesel engine car. So that sort of sets out a bit of a time frame. The huge programme that you've talked about sounds extremely ambitious. Can you put any sort of timescales around that? Is this all joined together, or how's it looking?
So the strategy is a 15-year strategy. I think that's really recognising, as you say, the scale of the change that needs to take place. We're talking about major investment in infrastructure. Also, I didn't really talk yet about rail improvements as well, but again, it's worth mentioning those particularly because those are long-term major investments. So we'd like to have a fifth platform still at Coventry Station. We're looking at potential sites for maybe a couple of new additional train stations as well. So those kind of improvements take quite a long time to deliver. So the strategy is a 15-year strategy, but I think it contains a mix of things that will happen quite quickly. So for example, things like the rollout of the on-demand bus service that already exists in part of the city, expanding it to cover the whole of the city and potentially have longer operating hours is something that could be done reasonably quickly, I'd hope. We're already making progress with building cycleways, so I think you'll start to see more of those coming forward over the next few years as well. But then there are some things in the strategy that are clearly longer term, you know, very light rail. We're aiming to complete a first route of that by maybe about 2025, 2026, something like that. To build a whole network of routes that span the whole city is clearly a longer term aspiration. So I think we will start to see some things will happen very quickly, but clearly to deliver everything that's in the strategy, it's going to be a much longer term process.
Just to be clear, what's the status of the strategy?
So the strategy that we've got at the moment is a draft. It's been consulted on. We did that earlier this year. We're just working on a final version of it now. So we expect to ask our elected councillors to approve it later this year.
But it's good to have a long-term strategy, isn't it? So, you know, it's really great to talk to you. Thank you for sparing the time to come on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me.
Before we go, let me tell you about a great event next week. On Wednesday, the 20th of July, the Green Business Programme are organising the first post-pandemic face-to-face event. You, dear podcast listener, are welcome to join the team and learn more about local green projects and financial and the non-financial support available to SMEs based in Coventry and Warwickshire. An additional reward for attending is a free breakfast, teas and coffees, and the great opportunity of networking during breaks. Please book to attend. I'm told there are only a few spaces left. Get your skates on. That was one thing that we didn't talk about, but get your skates on for this one. Use the link in the show notes of this podcast to get your place booked. This podcast was produced by Maria Kovlia. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.